It's 6:20, and this is KERA News. I'm Rachel Oger-Lindley. A new study finds that more than 4/5 of Texas school districts teach no sex education or offer curriculums focusing solely on abstinence. That's despite Texas being among the nation's teen pregnancy leaders. A study released today by the left-leaning watchdog group, the Texas Freedom Network, shows that 83% of around 1,000 Texas school districts didn't offer sex education or only taught abstinence during the 2015 to 2016 school year. The sex education void is concentrated in rural areas. The study found that 25% of Texas school districts taught no sex education. Darren Woods and Fort Worth Opera have parted company. He serves as its general director for 16 years. Arden Seek's Jerome Weeks reports whoever's hired to lead the opera now will be inheriting a company almost unrecognizable from the one Woods took charge of.
Darren Woods transformed the Fort Worth Opera. He first turned it into a festival, with its entire season of shows performed in just 3 whirlwind weeks. The company continued staging classics like Carmen, but now also presented edgier works like Angels in America. Woods also committed Fort Worth Opera to a series of Spanish-language operas called Opera of the Americas. Finally, the company gained national and international attention for Woods' risk-taking and innovations. Woods has staged 4 world premieres, including last season's epic JFK. Woods had a contract through 2018. Mike Martinez, Fort Worth Opera's board chairman, says Woods' early departure, ironically enough, is a side effect of raised expectations caused by the success of JFK.
Coming out of JFK, we realized that we have this great opportunity to move the company forward in terms of increasing our number of productions, the number of performances, and building on what Darren has established here. And to that extent, we were going to need more expertise in fundraising and development. But Darren's strengths are artistic.
In fact, Woods is also the artistic director of the Siegel Music Colony in New York. Martinez says the decision to part ways came only after a long series of discussions with the board and with Woods. Woods declined to comment, saying only he's consulting an attorney. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
To see videos KERA has created with Fort Worth Opera during Darren Woods' tenure, go to artandseek.org. The election for Dallas County District Attorney isn't until next year, but candidates are lining up. Former District State Judge John Creuzot is seeking the Democratic nomination. He spent more than 20 years as a state district judge and was a former assistant DA for Dallas County. He told reporters today his candidacy has nothing to do with the current district attorney.
And by the way, let me say this about Faith Johnson. She's my friend. I love her. I respect her. And my race for district attorney doesn't have anything to do with Faith Johnson being the current district attorney. It's about my vision for the future and my respect for this community.
Faith Johnson was appointed district attorney by Governor Greg Abbott. The Republican fills the office held by Susan Hawk, who resigned after a lengthy battle with depression. Creuzot says he wants to see certain programs restored that were gutted or neglected by previous district attorneys.
Our conviction integrity unit has kind of suffered a little bit in the last maybe a year or so, and I want to make certain that that's up and running and that we're doing the best job that we can to identify people and cases that have gone wrong, that were wrongfully convicted or prosecuted, and undo those wrongs.
Creuzot says he's a proponent of diversion programs. He founded a specialty court in 1998 that provided court-monitored rehab for certain drug offenders in Dallas County as an alternative to jail. Novelist Elliot Ackerman is a Marine veteran who served 5 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. His new book, Dark at the Crossing, explores the Syrian Revolution through the eyes of a former Iraqi translator. Today on Think, the author talked with Chris Boyd about using a failed relationship as a metaphor for conflict in the region.
A marriage, like a revolution, is an adventure of the heart. You know, you have 2 people who are living in their separate worlds. They fall in love with one another, and they give up those 2 separate worlds for a vision of what a world together would look like. And it's much the same with a revolution. And I had, you know, many activists who participated in the early days of the Syrian Democratic Revolution say to me, I was in love with the revolution. Hmm. I was in love with these ideas. You can't imagine what it felt like to live under Assad's regime and then to go out in the streets and scream at the police and tell them what you'd thought for so many years. But when that revolution went off the rails and turned into the disaster we see now, they had to reckon with that loss and what that meant. And much the same way, you know, when a marriage fails, two people have to reckon with what that destroyed world looks like. So as I was trying to take a reader through the emotional arc of this failed revolution, what I found was coming out in the characters in the book was the emotional arc of a failed marriage, and there was a lot of parody there.
Elliot Ackerman speaks at the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth on February 24th. Learn more at think.kera.org, where you can also listen to the podcast of today's episode. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, why women walk a rougher road than men when it comes to economic stability. Reporter Courtney Collins, she sat down with executive producer Jeff Whittington to break down the numbers of a new report from the Dallas Women's Foundation. The report from that Austin-based Center for Public Policy Priorities and the Texas Woman's University shows that 17% of Texas women live in poverty, compared to just 14% of Texas men.
Hey, Courtney.
Hey, Jeff.
This report identified four building blocks that are essential for women who want to be financially secure. What are they?
Right. The building blocks are healthcare, housing, education, and childcare. And since work support is such a key issue for women on the financial edge, crucial for economic stability, we're going to focus on that last building block, childcare, in this conversation.
It's not something that gets a lot of attention in the news.
Not really. I've done a ton of reporting on poverty, and nonprofit leaders who work with low-income families and policy experts are always using the term housing cost burdened. Now, that basically means someone is spending more than 30% of their income on housing, which isn't really sustainable for folks on the financial edge. Well, I had a presentation on this new data last week. The author of the report, Frances DeVinney, with the Center for Public Policy Priorities, introduced me to the concept of childcare cost burdened.
So, for example, for a family of three that lives below $24,000 a year, we're talking about spending 30% of income for paid childcare every year. That is a childcare cost burden for most families. And that's not necessarily guaranteeing quality.
And Jeff, for women living in poverty, the average they spend on childcare each year is 30% of their income, which means some people spend even more.
Wow. So if a mother doesn't have access to affordable childcare, it seems pretty obvious that her ability to work and earn a living is going to take a huge hit.
Exactly. And that's something else that this report has hard numbers on. DeVinney says about 14% of Texas families had a major job disruption because of a problem with childcare.
And that means they can't take a job because they don't have childcare in place. They have to quit a job because their childcare gets disrupted, or they have to reduce their hours working because of childcare issues. That's not only economically tragic for the family, but it's economically tragic for the businesses they're working on because it's expensive to have turnover and it's expensive to lose productivity like that.
Okay, what does childcare actually cost in Texas?
For full-time childcare, Texas parents are spending somewhere between $7,000 and $9,000 a year. And just to put that in context, the average cost of tuition and fees at a Texas public university is about $8,300 a year.
So what are some of the solutions researchers are proposing?
A biggie is more family-friendly policies at work. Things like paid sick leave and paid family leave, dependent care reimbursement accounts, or the option to telecommute. Another concept these researchers are pushing, public-private partnerships. An example would be the city or state working with corporations to subsidize or maybe even provide subsidized child care on site. President and CEO of the Dallas Women's Foundation, Rosalind Dawson Thompson, says making quality, affordable child care available to everyone, including low-income women and low-income women of color, will make Texas stronger going forward.
As we look at the future of our workforce, as we look at the future reality, how can we not countenance the importance of equity across every dimension for women and children? Because we will not have a healthy Texas economy. We will not have a healthy future if we do not take care of this.
We've really just scratched the surface here. The report is loaded with information, everything from how female-headed families are at higher risk for eviction to why earning college credit in high school could actually be a game changer for women.
You can, of course, read through the entire report yourself. We got a link at keranews.org. Courtney, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And finally, if you're a high school student or if you know one, listen up. KERA is sponsoring a Maya Angelou essay contest. Here's what you do. Write an essay that interprets one of Angelou's poems and describe how it contributes to the understanding of race in the U.S. and the African-American experience. Winners may be invited to read their essays on air. The deadline's